God wants His church to work and to work well. Pastor Ray Bentley says He's given us some special help to make sure it does.
Because the presence of Christ dwells in us individually, but then corporately as His body, God has given us gifts. The actual Greek word is God has given to us graces, and I like that because graces are a delight to watch in action when you use it to the glory of God.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Imagine giving someone a practical gift, but then you see them struggling every day because they haven't put that gift to use. Sad. Well, that's how God must feel about the spiritual gifts He's given us. He's called us to certain tasks and given gifts to equip us. Today, the importance of putting them to use.
Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Okay, the title of the message is The Gifts of Christ's Body. And we're going to talk about some of the gifts of the Spirit. There is a partial list here in Romans chapter 12, and we're going to look at that, and we're going to define them and talk about the gifts. Paul has been talking about the body of Christ and that the body that works. We are the body of Jesus, and God has a work for us to do. Let's begin in verse 3. Paul says, "For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly or with sound judgment, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually, we are members of one another." You have your own, family, biological family, but when you become a Christian, in a very literal sense, you are now connected to a much larger family, and this is only part of your family. We tend to compartmentalize and specialize and, where do you go to? What's your church? My church is Maranatha Chapel. From the Lord's perspective, there really is only one church. And it's not by name, it's not by denomination. It is made up of all the believers. And so we are brothers and sisters with the Baptists down the street and the Pentecostals and the Lutherans and the Presbyterians and all of those who not just go to church, but all those who have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, they're our family. And we are part of the body, we belong to one another, and we're interdependent upon one another, and we all have gifts. Everyone has a gift. Paul tells us two things about the gifts. Number one, don't try to do everything. Nobody has all the gifts. And I am excited this morning to get into Romans 12 and talk about some other gifts. I have a gift that is very visible. You see my gift. And there are so many others. I am so blessed. I am surrounded by both men and women whose hearts have been touched by God. There is no way that this ministry could be where it is and do what it does without the gifting and the anointing of the Holy Spirit in so many others. Now, we all have our part, and one of the tendencies we have is we get jealous of other gifts. I don't know why it is. It must be from our sin nature, the old nature. We're never satisfied with what we have and who we are. We always look at somebody else and go, I wish I was like him. I wish I had her gifts. And we compare. The Bible says it's a sin to compare yourself with anybody else. It's just flat out wrong. God doesn't want you to compare yourself to anybody else. He doesn't want you to be like anybody else. He wants you to be special and unique. And God has given every single one of us gifts. And we ought to glory in them. And He hasn't given anybody all of the gifts. So you don't have to try to do everything and be everything. Secondly, whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly. As Paul has reminded us that we are part of Christ's body, and the most wonderful thing about being part of Christ's body is that Christ dwells in us. Is that amazing? And we can't even fathom it, that Jesus lives inside of you and me. He literally, by his Spirit, lives and dwells in us. We are his body. He says, you're my temple, you're my body, you're my home, you're where I want to live, where I want to abide. I want a relationship with you. That is what we believe. That is Christianity. It is not a religion doing religious things. It's all about relationship. And we can abide in him. And because the presence of Christ dwells in us individually, but then corporately as his body, God has given us gifts. And Paul calls the gifts graces. The actual Greek word is the word grace, that God has given to us graces. And I like that because graces are a delight to watch in action. And this is definitely true of the spiritual gifts. A spiritual gift is so rewarding when you use it to the glory of God. Now, I have a guy that is right here who leads us into the presence of the Lord, who has a grace and has a gift, John Wickham. He is just the greatest guy. He is always turning us to the Lord, and he just in conversations, he loves to talk about the Lord, and he has such a heart for the Lord and such a gift God gave to him on the guitar. But you know, when John began, he was probably a teenager, and he began, you know, a few chords on the guitar. He didn't just start playing like that. It's amazing the sound he can get out of that little guitar also. But he had a measure of desire, a measure of gift that God gave to him, and then John practiced. He's always practicing the guitar. But he has a gift, and he works on it, and he has honed it, and that gift has grown. If you're taking notes this morning, I want you to note this. Your gift can improve. Whatever grace God's given to you, whatever gift God has given to you, it can grow, it can become better, it can be improved upon. And again, let me just say, you don't need to be jealous of other people's gifts. A spiritual gift is rewarding when you use it for God's glory. And when it's a gift, there is something that just, it's easy for you. That's what a grace is. A grace is something that is natural, it's easy, and you love doing it. I think one of the fears that sometimes we have is that God's going to call me to do something I don't really enjoy doing. Now, we're not going to talk about this morning, but there's the gift of evangelism. And there are some people that go out and they share their faith and they have this passion and they have this love and they can just walk up to people on the beach and they get into a conversation with them and share the Lord with them and witness to them and lead people to Christ, and it's amazing. But there are others who feel, you know, that is like, you know, to go up to somebody that you don't know, cold, and walk up and witness to them actually makes them sick to their stomach. That probably is an indication you don't have that gift. That's okay. But the Bible says we're to be a witness to everybody. Yes, it says to be a witness. It's not something you do. There are those who are called and gifted to be evangelists, not just the Billy Grahams, but there are those who have that gift of evangelism and sharing their faith and witnessing to people. But if you have that gift, you love it. You enjoy it. It just is from your heart, and it's a wonderful thing. If you don't have that gift, it's okay. You don't have to feel guilty about it. It's not some hard, painful thing that you do, but you actually love it. And I think that having a gift that you enjoy and using that gift, and that's Paul's exhortation, whatever gifts you have, use them, improve upon them. That's what makes life interesting and fulfilling. Have you ever noticed how God loves to pour out his gifts? And even things that are so little and insignificant as wild flowers out in the field. And it's not just that God puts one beautiful little wild white, yellow, purple, red flower. But there's, you almost see within God the heart of a child. And what I mean by that is, in the heart of a child, when a child has something that they really love and really enjoy, they always say, do it again. Do it again. Being a grandpa now, I have my little son, grandson, Noah. And so we got into this thing. We, you know, and I'm sure you have done this as well, but we just have this little game that we play, and where I chase him, and he loves for me to chase him and scare the daylights out of him. You would think I was being mean, but I'm not. And I go, I'm gonna get you. And he starts shaking. He's so excited. Grandpa's gonna get him. And I start walking real slow. I'm gonna get you. And he's running, you know, but he's hardly going anywhere. And then as I kind of walk toward him, he'll stop and he'll turn around to see if I'm still chasing him. So finally I get closer and closer and louder and louder, and then I grab him, I got you, and I pick him up and I hug him and I twirl him around, and he giggles with laughter and with delight. So I put him down and I go over to my big easy chair, you know, to watch a ball game, and he's like, ready to do it again. And so you do it again, and then you put him down. He wants to do it again and again and again, because there's something in the heart of a child. When you enjoy something, you like doing it again. That's how I see the heart of our Father in heaven. He's like a child. Well, he doesn't just put one beautiful wild flower. He'll fill a field with millions of them. And then you look at the sky and the stars in the heavens and all different sizes and luminous glories. And it's like he just said, I'm gonna do it again. And he litters the heavens with all of these stars and heavenly bodies. So also with the body of Christ, it is the pleasure and the joy of our Father, who is so rich and so wealthy, to give gifts to his children. And we all have different gifts. So if you're not the hand and you look at the hand, you can admire the hand, and look at the hand can grab things and the hand can put things together, but you're not the hand. That's okay. Rejoice, because guess whose hand it is? If you're in the body, it's your hand. You don't have to be the hand to enjoy the benefits of that hand. Or the foot. Or, you know, I've thought about, well, what's my gift and my part in the body? I guess I'm the mouth of the body right now. Don't laugh too hard at that. But anyway, verse 3, the very last phrase says, God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Paul tells us how to measure our gifts, the measure of our ability. He says it is according to your faith. Matthew chapter 9, verse 29 says, according to your faith, it will be done to you. In other words, how much do you believe that God can do through you right here, right now? It's not, well, if I get ready and if I add this or do that, but how much do you believe that God can use you right now with whatever gifts he has given to you? Start where you are. In fact, write that down. Start where I am. Whatever gifts that I have, start there, and God will broaden it. God will expand it. God will multiply it. Now let's read in your notes 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Let's read it out loud. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Timothy had a gift that God had given to him. He doesn't even specify, which is kind of nice, because then the point is just, it's possible that, like Timothy, other believers will, over the years, have gifts that they've exercised and used and enjoyed, and then they can lay dormant. They can lay dormant. They can get rusty. They can fall out of disuse for a variety of different reasons. Sometimes the gift that we have has to change in its nature. For instance, with Tony Gwynn, he was the star, you know, Hall of Fame batter for the Padres in right field. Well, then the day came when he couldn't do that anymore. So now what does he do? With that gift that has been his entire life, he becomes a teacher. Take the kids at San Diego State, teach them. So he's still using his gift. Now it's maybe in a different capacity, but he is still using that gift. Sometimes we get lost in the transition and we're not using the gift that really is what the, you know, it needs to be stirred up. And another translation says, fan it into flame, so that you use the gifts that God has given. Now, I mentioned that this is only a partial list of the gifts. There's another list in 1 Corinthians 12, which is the next book, and a little bit later in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4 has another list of gifts. So if you write down 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4, you can look at those other lists. And I'm not even sure that those, along with Romans 12 here, are exhaustive. I don't think the point was to name necessarily every gift, but to name the categories of gifts that God has given within the body. Now let's define some of the gifts. Paul has seven that we're going to look at this morning in verses 6-8. So verse 6, Paul says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Now my Bible, I've got the New King James Version, when it says let us use them is in italics. And that always gives some emphasis. That's the idea here, is that we have all different gifts according to whatever grace is given to us. Use the gifts that God has given to you. They are needed. You are needed. You are unique and you are important. So then he starts with his list. And the first gift that he mentions is the gift of prophecy. This is the gift of preaching God's word. Prophecy, in its very elemental form, means proclaiming, speaking forth the word of God. Proclaiming, bringing, delivering passionately and with faith what God has said. Now, oftentimes we have this misnomer. We think that prophecy is God speaking of the future. In reality, the basic definition of prophecy is the preaching, the proclaiming of the word of God. Now, it just so happens that when God speaks in his word, because he knows everything, and he knows things that haven't happened yet, that are in the future, sometimes in the proclaiming of his word, he speaks of the future. So we get that idea, that, and we call that prophecy, and it is prophecy, it is prophetic. But it's not all that prophecy is. And I also want to say this gift of prophecy is not confined to pastors only. It's not just for, you know, churches and congregations. I believe that the gift of prophecy can be used by men and women in the body of Christ in a public setting. They can be used in a school setting. They can be used in a home setting. It says in the book of Acts that Philip had four daughters who had this gift and were able to prophesy. And so it's the proclaiming, the putting forth of God's word. I like what Dr. Ironside said. Dr. Ironside, who was a pastor some years ago at the Moody Church in Chicago, Illinois, he used to speak of those who thought they had the gift of preaching, but to whom nobody had the gift of listening. Now, the point is there are some, you know, self-proclaimed prophets and those who prophesy, and the real sign that you have the gift of prophecy is that there are some who have the gift of listening and who want to hear what you have to say. Having said that, I want to just mention that when I first began to preach the word, I was actually in high school. I was a freshman. And I was a Christian, and actually the whole subject of the coming again of the Lord Jesus. I began to read and to hear about the coming of the Lord and the signs of the times and what was happening in the world, and I got very fired up. I mean, I already had come to the Lord for the forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life, but then the thought that maybe Jesus would come back in my lifetime, it just put a whole new fire and passion within me to get into the Word and to study it, and then because of that, I wanted to start sharing it. I was 14 years old, and as a freshman in high school, I just got two friends together. And I said, hey, would you guys like, you know, I've been studying, I think I had a Matthew Henry commentary, and would just pray and meditate and write down thoughts as the Spirit would just speak to my heart. And I said, could we get together, you know, once a week when we have lunch, and just I could share maybe for 10 or 15 minutes the things that it was just like burning inside my heart. I wanted to share it. That's how it began. Two other people, two friends, close friends. who would listen to me. And I don't, there was nothing really awesome or profound about it. I just basically would read it, make a few comments, and go, is that awesome or what? You know, and that was it. But you know, something interesting began to happen. The second year, my sophomore year, I had been kind of sharing the Lord with my wrestling coach. And for some reason, this real, I just loved him, and I wanted him to know the Lord, and I kind of shared with him. He was my math teacher. And I was not one of my gifts was math. So he was the wrestling coach and the math teacher. And you had to get at least a C in math to stay on the team. So he started tutoring me and helping me with algebra and all of this stuff. And so as we would go back and forth, I started sharing the Lord with him and praying. And my family started praying for him. And you could just see the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon him at that time. And one day we came and he said, hey, Ray, I just want you to know I went to church with my wife this last weekend. I said, really? Wow, that's great. And he goes, guess what else? I said, what? He goes, they gave an invitation for people to come accept Christ. I said, really? I said, wow, what happened? He said, I went forward and gave my life to the Lord. I thought, wow. So then I got this idea. I said, hey, coach, do you think maybe after wrestling practice, we could use the wrestling room and I could do a Bible study and maybe invite some of the other guys? And he says, yeah, sure. You had to get a teacher to sign on to get the room. So my sophomore year, we started to do that. And at first there was like, six or eight that would come, and then there was 10, and then there was 12, and then there was 25, and then they started inviting some of their girlfriends, and it started to grow. And from the time I was a freshman to a senior, sometimes there were 50, 60, 70 kids that would be coming. And it was amazing to watch something that began so small and to watch the Lord add to it and to watch it grow. Paul says, use your gift in proportion to your faith. Do not be afraid to start where you are. Do not be afraid to start very small. Do not be afraid to let the Lord lead you and guide you and bless you. The Phillips translation says, use your gift unto the limit of your vision.
Pastor Ray Bentley, urging us to use the gifts God has given us. He's depending on that. Important insight today here on Maranatha Radio. And today's presentation by Pastor Ray is available on CD. Contact us and mention The Gifts of Christ's Body. It's available for just $7. And again, that title, The Gifts of Christ's Body. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Romans on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. What's the most surprising facet you uncover in your book? What brings the biggest wow when you tell people about this material?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is learning about the feasts of the Lord. I think the church has done a great job of looking at the feasts in the spring that go from Passover when Christ was crucified to the resurrection and then Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell. But there are three more feasts that are in the fall, and those three feasts point to and are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and really are all about the second coming. They all point to the days I think we're living in right now, Dave, and I think people will be fascinated to learn more about these feasts, how they reveal more about Jesus Christ and the hope of His return.
You know, many New Testament believers look at the feasts as simply an historical fact, and they don't really actually pull that material into their day-to-day relationship with the Lord, but that really is a mistake, isn't it?
It is. The next feast to be fulfilled, it's all these allusions, really, to the return of Jesus Christ. And I think it's going to be mind-boggling for people to look into this and understand deeper layers that will ignite their faith and put fire in their soul for sharing the Lord.
All right. Well, Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, is available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Romans. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.